As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis and insight that you can't get anywhere else. Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Empty net to shoot at, and that will do it. Perry firing it into the empty net from just outside the left faceoff circle, and that will nail it down. If there was any doubt, it's 4-1.
Well, certainly did. The empty net goal, second goal of the game, and 20th of the season for Brandon Peary, and that's all she wrote. A 4-1 win for the Florida Panthers over the Toronto Maple Leafs. That was the call of Paul Romanuk in for an ailing Joe Bowen tonight, along with Jim Ralph. 4-1 the final score. We welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. And Ozzy, that alarm force ad, I think it got everybody out of here. This is the emptiest. Like, I am telling you, like, everyone's gone. And it wasn't a horrible game either. It's just that, you know, there were empty spots in the stands, and then people kind of started streaming out a bit.
Yeah, you know what?
Wow.
I think the reality of what's gone on the last little while, the lack of effort, passion, emotion, you put in some of the other blanks as far as what the real consensus is out there, the talk of Connor McDavid and tickets through Union Station this evening, buy one, get a couple free. I mean, the lack thereof of a sellout the other night I believe it was, what, Monday night was the last time the Leafs played here at home. So there's a real general apathy, I think, that's developed in the first time in, well, quite some time that I can at least remember. It's a very interesting set of circumstances and times for the Maple Leafs, and there's no other way to talk about it other than another loss down the drain for the Maple Leafs. 8-33-3 is their record the last 44 games. It's quite unheard of in the, I guess, the expansion era, per se.
Well, it's the worst in the NHL over that period. And the other thing is, what they haven't had a lead in, this is the worst since 19...
Almost 500 minutes.
So this is the longest stretch not holding a lead since 1987. I mean, we're going back to these...
Before I got here.
Oh, I know. That's why they made a bold trade. That's it. Bring Ozzy back. Something like that. But anyway, on the upside tonight, there was, as we say, a better effort from time to time and a lot of elements. And Sam Carrick, he didn't get that first goal the other night when Jake Gardner tipped it, which Jake Gardner should do. It's not like, you know, he had first crack at it, but it would have been him or Carrick to knock a goal in a couple of games ago. Yeah, I like the way he's played, and it was nice. He got a great ovation. Fans appreciated a local kid getting his first goal. I should mention, by the way, the phone line's open, 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network. 1-888-666-0590.
Well, put it this way, Gord, and there were parts of the game where the effort and energy at times were there. I mean, Komarov showed some emotion there. There's been some scattered play. There was a great chance here for James Van Riemsdyk in the second period in which Bobby Lou, Roberto Luongo made an incredible save and even got one of those loos out of the Maple Leaf crowd for Roberto Luongo. Maybe that's a bit of irony, to say the least, or sarcasm from the Leaf crowd. But, you know, there were moments. And again, you mentioned
I thought it was – do you not think it was a I actually thought it was okay. I thought they appreciated Luongo.
When have you ever heard this crowd showing appreciation to a visiting team?
Well, he was a Team Canada goaltender once. I don't know.
I know, but that's reaching.
It didn't make sense to boo.
No, they were going to boo him, so they looed him. They
well,
gave
no,
him,
to
like,
boo
the
Leaf. Anyway, it's hard to figure things out, but sorry.
But then the only other part of it is, a great individual effort by Morgan Riley on the goal by Sam Carrick, and you're happy for the young kid. I believe it's his 14th National Hockey League game. He finally gets off the schneid, scores the first one. And after that, it seemed as though, for the first time in a long time, I felt that the Leafs were gaining momentum. And when's the last time that we can say, actually, that it felt kind of good and Florida were on their heels? And the Leafs had a lot of good chances in that third period. I don't think, and we did speak to Dale Talon, saying he wasn't really happy the general play of his team. But at the end of the night, it's a 4-1 victory. Brandon Peary, his 20th of the season, second on the night, into the empty net. What a story it's been, an acquisition for Dale Tallon, going back to his particular player in being drafted by the Blackhawks when Dale was there with the management team.
Well, we will hear from Maple Leaf head coach Peter Horacek as well. A lot of interesting games in the out-of-town scoreboard. We will get to that as well. We do remind you our phone line's open at 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. We'll go to Frank in Toronto. Hey, Frank. We got Frank there? Frank. I'm hearing him a little bit. Okay. Frank.
He left the building.
Okay. Give a call. We'll get back there. Whatever. Anyway, Frank was going to talk about Carrick. Again, 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network. 1-888-666-0590. We'll try to work things out of our phone lines to make sure they're all up and running. I did want to talk about Casey Bailey. I was just chatting about that. We'll get his stats later on, Ozzie. But, you know, it is a big jump. It is a big jump to the NHL, and he seemed a guy tentative to get that all-important first experience.
Well, and one of the things, it's way too early for us to even, you know, simply make a comment on based on what we've seen or lack thereof. I mean, one of the things that I think I'm going to go up based on what Eddie Olchuk had mentioned to us on Saturday when we had our usual guest on Saturday afternoon. Eddie Olchuk's son played with him in Penn State for 3 years, and he said, you know what, he's a better skater than he looks. And I was actually watching that, and it did appear as though he was, you know, certainly had the ability to get around the ice. You have to do that first and foremost. But again, nice hands, nice passes, but certainly you could tell in the first early shifts a lot of nerves, and he was just making sure he wasn't getting beat.
Being very defensive rush, right? Conscious. So. Okay. Now, do we have Frank? Frank in Toronto, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, sorry, Frank. Go ahead.
No problem. I just wanted to commend Sam for his goal, his first goal. But at the same time, the Leafs can't play like that. I mean, they've got, you know, Florida Panthers had the puck three quarters of the game, unless I saw something different. But I don't know. And it's not Carlisle's fault either.
Well, no, I think Randy Carlisle, some people are kidding, he may be Coach of the Year candidate given the way the season turned around on it. We certainly echo the sentiment, like Ozzy said, about Sam Carrott, local guy, getting his first goal. I don't know, Ozzy, was it 75% of the game, whatever it may be, there were periods when the Florida Panthers had, it was men against boys for certain periods, even though the Leafs, by and large, had a decent effort over 60 minutes.
Yeah, put it this way. As far as just puck possession, and you could tell when a team that is in sync, or at least there's some form of unity where you look at the teams that are fighting for playoff spots or are in the playoffs, that's the biggest thing that jumps out for me. You talk about a sense of unity, camaraderie, teamwork, where you've got groups of five guys moving the puck collectively and moving up the ice. When is the last time, and there's bits and pieces of
this
the
is what Peter Horacek wanted to do. This is the plan he talked about when he took over.
But you never see us moving the puck out of our own zone, collectively coming up with speed together, crisp passes, distributing the puck, and getting an odd man chance or rush. It's been a long time. Yeah, case in point on the Carrick goal, it takes a guy like Morgan Riley to do an individual effort in order to create something offensively. I mean, it can't be like that all the time. It's got to be moving the puck, headmanning it, puck support, and all the likes of it. But when the Leafs get in the offensive zone, it doesn't take too long before the puck is either turned over or the defending team has made a real good job in stripping the puck for the Maple Leafs and no sustained zone time.
Rocky and Markham. Hey, Rocky, welcome to Leafs Nation postgame.
Thanks for taking my call. You guys do a great job at your work. I want to talk about Nazem Kadri. What do you think what's going to happen to Nazem Kadri after the season? Because he's a restricted free agent after the season. And the way things are going right now, in my opinion, if I were the GM, I would try to trade Kadri at this point. I understand that, like, his analytics are up there, and I know that he's a point producer and stuff. But with the culture and stuff, it doesn't seem like it's blending for the Leafs right now. And another thing is, if the Leafs do end up drafting Connor McDavid, do you think Phil Kessel stays around? Because I would like to do, like, if I were a GM as well, like, I would try to fit with somebody with Connor McDavid for the long term, because Phil Kessel is a lot older than McDavid or somebody who's a center they're going to end up drafting. Because, like, if you look at the mold of Pittsburgh Penguins, like, they had Malkin and Crosby and Jordan Staal, and they were all drafted around the same period, and they were blending together. And, yes, they won the cup, but they fit it for the long term, right?
Okay, so, a couple of questions. First, moving backwards, whatever team gets Connor McDavid, if it's the Leafs, they can go get 19 beer league guys to play, okay? Whatever team does that, trading Kessel or keeping Kessel will be, everything will be better. The air will be better. Your food will taste better. It'll all be great as far as that goes. But in the other case about Nazem Kadri, I don't know, Oz, it's the kind of thing, you need guys to play next year. So some guys will have to move on, but you still need guys to play. I'm interested how he responds to how this has been handled, whether he likes it or not, whether, same with Phil Kessel deciding to get into better condition, these types of things, if they rise to the challenge in the offseason.
Let's at least agree that it's far too early to tell how Nazem Kadri is going to respond based on what's happened collectively this year as a team.
Well,
some of the stuff he's
don't
gotten.
Know. He may already have something in his mind. He may be pissed off and forget it, or he may really be, who knows.
You know what, I don't really care if he's pissed off, to be quite honest with you.
I'm just being a journalist and throwing the options out there.
No, but I really don't, you know, as far as Nazem Kadri goes, because all I care about is character, commitment, work ethic, attitude, approach, leadership. And you tell me whether he displays any of those type of characteristics. That's what I'm interested in this organization moving forward. I'll give him the fact that he's got some talent. I'll give him the fact that he says the right things and he's willing to at least make some adjustments as a 25-year-old player at a time when, and I'm not solely putting the blame on him, because again, I said this before about mentorship and who has he looked up to or who has taken him aside and mentored him during the course of his career.
But the key words you said are moving forward, and that's what we're trying to look ahead about, because you're right. You just talked about a record. Where have you seen any of those attributes from anybody collectively? You know, maybe Morgan Riley, but everyone's been lacking in some or all of them in some way, shape, or form. So no question, you know,
He part of the solution or is he part of the problem?
Some guys will have to be part of the solution. That's what Brendan Shanahan and David Nonis have to determine if it is Kadri or not Kadri. They've got to accurately gauge what they have or don't have.
Okay, you know what? And I hope that that's the case. I beg to differ if that actually, and I'll call a spade, as far as what I see, what I feel. And if he's able to transcend all of those things, I'll be the first one to admit it. I got it wrong. And so, I sometimes look at some of these things or have been with players of the same ilk that basically at the end of the day, they're either in denial or let's hope.
Well,
that
you say he's back
change.
Or not? You said they look to move him or he's back?
No, I'm not saying they're looking to move him. I think they're not going to do that. They're probably going to, they might go to arbitration, offer him a one-year contract or cut bait.
Okay, well, if we don't get spots in, we'll have to go to arbitration. So otherwise, we'll get nothing better than a one-year contract as well.
You got me heated up now.
Well, it's good. I like when you're heated up. You know, so you know you've been mad all day. You left Madeline a letter that you're not happy about the house being messy, the whole thing. So hopefully, we'll get everything worked out for Mark Osborne. A 4-1 win for the Florida Panthers. I wasn't supposed to say that. 4-1 win for the Florida Panthers over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll be back with more Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Once the skates come off, it's game on for us. Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stelick and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Here's Maple Leaf head coach Peter Horachuk after the 4-1 loss.
I think the last one I think might have gone off our skate, but it's just we've had to make something to stop the bleeding right there. We could feel it. It wasn't good, and, you know, we needed to change this mindset.
Your thoughts on the way Casey Bailey played?
Actually, not too bad at all. I mean, first game I thought, he had a good, strong effort, and, he – didn't get a lot of chances, but his effort was there, and so I thought it was a good, positive first game.
And Sam Garrett getting his first goal.
Yeah, that's great. I like Sammy, and I like that what he brings to the table, and it was good to get that after he came close to getting it the other night. So I think that you can see when he's feeling it, he's got good energy and good mojo. He kind of gets in, and he's got a physicality and he has an ability to, I think, to create some offense as well.
In addition to the losses, you guys haven't had a lead in an awful long time, something like 23 periods. How frustrating is that not to be able to?
Well, it'd be, you know, with where the lineup is right now, I mean, we've got a lot of young guys, a lot of call-ups. I mean, we're looking to play consistent hockey right now, and if you're doing that, the games are going to be closer, and it's going to hopefully we capitalize on some of the chances. I mean, we had some good chances that didn't go in, but the frustration of not having a lead is not my focus. If not getting behind is more of my focus, is why are we, you know, not playing the 60 minutes, and you know, that's not good. That's where we need to go. We need to get a consistent 60-minute effort.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you. Well, Maple Leaf head coach Peter Horacek, we welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. And listening a little bit to Peter Horacek there about the lead and other things. And meanwhile, you, by the way, this is, as we say, the longest. It's about over 450 minutes, which is like about eight complete games, 468 minutes. So let's see, that's about eight games still, right? A little bit under eight games. And that goes back to 1987, as we say, those unfortunate years that I remember a little bit too well, some of those particular droughts, and that's where they go back since they last had a lead. And you were, Ozzy, taking a look at, you know, plus-minus stats aren't everything, but you know, they are telling to a degree, and again, for the big line.
Well, absolutely, Gordon. I know sometimes they can be misleading a little bit if you're on the ice when the goaltender is pulled, as in the case was tonight with Brandon Peary scoring in the empty net. The line of Kessel, Van Riemsdyk, and Bozak were all on the ice, but that top line guilty of being combined minus nine between the three of them. And so talking about plus minus, that line is a minus 111 on the season.
Wow.
You talked about Jim Benning's record of minus 39 one year. Well, Phil's knocking on the door of minus 38. In fact, he probably will, in fact, break that record.
Brian in Etobicoke has been hanging on patiently. Brian, welcome to Leafs Nation postgame. Brian, you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead. Brian, you in jail? Where are you? Okay, we'll try. Okay, anyway, Brian's question was going to be somewhere where cell phone coverage isn't all that strong. Want to know who's going to be the leadership group going forward? We were talking about Nazem Kadri. We were talking about anybody. And I'll give you my opinion what's going to happen. I think Tyler Bozak's going to be moved because they've got to move, get a number one center. I think Dion Phaneuf will be moved for humanitarian reasons. I really do. I think, you know, I'm not saying he'll request it. I just see those being the two guys.
It's an interesting way of putting it. Well, I guess humanitarian reasons.
I mean it in the sense. Like,
oh,
I think, you know, and I.
It's a nice gesture.
He's out there showing a little fight, in my opinion. But when your leadership group means you've got to move a couple of guys on, and then you've got the other guys, and I don't know who you consider leaders among them. Where's Joffrey Lupul of late? Mm-hmm. He's missing in action totally. I mean, this leadership group, starting with Salute Gabe, has proven that it's a group that's severely skewed, severely unqualified, severely lacking in all those elements.
And so where are you going to get any type of, you know, leadership per se? I guess you can look at bringing back and moving forward next year that you're committed to a guy like Stefan Robidoff for another couple of years. Roman Polak is a guy. You go down the list of... Morgan Rielly obviously is going to be a part of it. But again, one of the things in how you solidify that leadership group within, and is there free agents out there? I'm not sure.
But you can't get fourth liners.
No.
Leaders got to be guys that play, too. You can't just get –
Where are you going to find those guys? Where are you going to find those guys?
Well, that's the thing. That's the challenge. I agree about Stefan Robidoff.
And so those are the kind of guys that I think you have to, if you decide to move a guy like Dion Phaneuf or Tyler Bozak, there's your C and there's one of your A's, and then you've decided to basically empower the Polaks and the Robidoffs of the world and say, you guys are the older guys on this team. We then allow you to mentor the younger players, and then somehow you move the ship forward with that particular group of character and leadership, of which you hope that that's the case.
Let's get to Chris Johnson, our man from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. And, Chris, one of these games we get to hang with you out in the press box a little bit before that. First of all, you were looking about the ticket situation, the attendance situation, the sellout situation. Where did it fall tonight?
It actually ended up being just a little bit above what's considered a sellout here, although, you know, I'm not sure if that was tickets sold or exactly how it's counted, because clearly there was quite a few empty seats, more than we're used to seeing traditionally around the building. And, you know, I think that's understandable given the opponent and the situation. And, you know, with a couple more games here, I guess at least we can look forward to three out of the final four home games are against Canadian teams. And I would expect there'll probably be a little bit more atmosphere if from the visiting fans, if nothing else.
Chris, we were only able to pick up near the end of Peter Horchuk's press conference. Just a general consensus or your thoughts on what Peter had to say and his general opinion of what transpired tonight as a collective group.
Well, he was pretty displeased with what he saw in the second period, which you know, I don't think will come as much surprise, you know, given how much the Leafs have received the game. Obviously ended up giving up three goals to fall behind kind of to a spot where they couldn't come back. And, you know, he mentioned that, you know, part of his motivation in pulling Jonathan Bernier and at that point was really meant to be more of a message to the team than anything else. But, you know, he's a frustrated man. I think that he's not alone, certainly in this city, for people that care about this team in that regard. And you know, he just didn't see a complete enough effort again. And he did kind of note, which is one thing that maybe we've glossed over at times, I don't necessarily mean on this program, but just in general, that it's getting pretty tough with the Leafs lineup right now, with the players they're rolling out there because of suspensions and injuries and various things. And, you know, it's tough for them to compete, I think, right now.
Well, let's talk about the big line all being minus three tonight. Let's talk about Joffrey Lupo that's missing in action as well. This is a team that started losing when they were healthy, and now he's right. There's been a lot of injuries, but as far as guys, and maybe the effort might be better tonight over 60 minutes, but it's the same result about when you need guys scoring goals, and they're not doing it, and they're giving it up.
Well, certainly I think the big players on this team, you know, have let them down, have not been there to carry them as we've seen so often in the past. You know, that line with Kessel, Van Riemsdyk, and Bozak is at an all-time ice age, you know, kind of slump that we haven't seen, you know, really since the entire time they've been together here for the Leafs. And, you know, Joffrey Lupo is another one. I believe his last goal was December 29th. And while he's been injured a little bit during that time, he's got a long string here as, you know, a guy who makes $5.25 million in the cap world as a forward, you know, counted on for offense, who hasn't been able to deliver. And I don't think it is a surprise, given that the top guys haven't been there enough for them, you know, with the rest of the lineup. The Leafs have put out there a lot of green players. You know, Sam Carrick tonight with a nice moment getting his first NHL goal. But, you know, those guys aren't going to be the ones to deliver victories. And with the Leafs' top players underperforming and not producing, I think that's a big, or the main reason probably at this point, that the Leafs find themselves where they do in the standings.
Chris, let's go back to Jonathan Bernier again. And, you know, Coach Horchuk has pulled Horchuk, but the seventh time he's been pulled this particular season, and the Leaf goaltenders four times in the last nine outings. You know, just your general thoughts on Jonathan Bernier, I guess, in general. Are there red flags for you? I know there's a lot of debate as to what perhaps the going forward future is of Jonathan Bernier. Obviously, I'm assuming they're going to sign him this coming summer. But again, any particular thoughts in general on Jonathan Bernier?
The biggest red flags, I guess, if we want to call it that, for me with him is just, you know, what state he's in personally coming out of this. And, you know, I think it's you know, almost not the time to ask that or maybe even get a feel for that, because, you know, when we see him now, he's obviously preparing for the next day, the next game, and you know, the end is close here. Maybe we'll have a sense, you know, when the Leafs do clean out their lockers in 2.5 weeks, you know, how he's come out of this personally, because, you know, he does control the situation a little bit. I mean, he's a restricted free agent at the moment, but, you know, I think that he's at a point in his career where he's going to have some influence over the direction it takes. I mean, he's eligible for arbitration, for example, which is, you know, something an RFA can influence a little bit more his situation. And, you know, I guess really what I'm getting at, I wonder if he's going to want to be around here any longer. I mean, it's hard to measure just how deep the frustration has gone, because obviously we know it is deep. But, you know, that to me becomes a valid question, especially if this team is going to rebuild to the extent that we believe it will. You know, maybe Jonathan Bernier won't want to be part of things. And, you know, I shouldn't speculate too much because I haven't asked him. But, you know, that's kind of where the red flags come for me because, you know, there's no way he feels good about being pulled those seven games. I think James Reimer's had a tough time of it here. He's been pulled a bunch himself. But, you know, I do think a lot of what's gone on with the goalies has been the play in front of them, you know, which isn't to excuse them entirely. But I still think Jonathan Bernier is a promising young goaltender in this league. I just don't think anyone in this situation would be thriving. You know, I don't like Carey Price right now, unquestionably the best goalie in the world. I think if he had been in net for the Leafs all season, they'd still be in a pretty big predicament at the moment.
Now, it's funny. I was telling Ozzy again, chatting with a friend. Again, this is all secondhand info, but someone who was chatting with someone that is good friends of Bernier in Montreal and saying, again, hearsay, but said that his attitude was he's tired because everyone's given up back-checking. That's what these friends say. So I don't, you know, because I do wonder what his mindset is that way. I agree with you. And
you know, and to add on to that, Gord, is I know, especially last season in his first year here in Toronto, he complained quite often about, you know, just how porous the defense was. I mean, I can't blame him in a sense, at least for giving up at that point the most shots in the entire NHL. But, you know, it was an adjustment for him coming from L.A., which is, you know, tends to be a little bit more defensively minded team. And you know, he might be growing frustrated with that. I mean, I think it would be fair in his shoes. And, you know, I almost feel like this year everyone's so traumatized by this right now. I mean, being around this group, as you guys know, it's a really tough time. I mean, I think everyone's almost going to have to take a few weeks here, even after the season ends, and really assess where things are at and start charting forward. And you know, he might be frustrated today and after a game like this, but maybe in the big picture, he'll see that he can be part of something bigger here. I still think he's young enough and has a promising enough career ahead of him that it would make sense for the Leafs to go down that road. But again, I haven't been able to measure just how deep the scars are just yet. You know, it's throughout that room.
Well, you know what? Let me just make a comment on that, both to you, Chris, and to Gord. If that's the case, I certainly hope that, you know, in light of what the Leafs have tried to do in investing in Jonathan Bernier, to basically say that you want to pull the chute and not be a part of the solution as opposed to it's gotten too tough over the course of this past season that I'm going to want to get out of here or suggest that, you know what, I'm not interested in staying here long term. I think that really would be a testament to the type of person or character that a guy like Jonathan Bernier would be. So I'm just suggesting, I hope that's not the case. And yes, when cooler heads do prevail, that he's one of the guys that will unequivocally say, you know what, we're going to change it around here. I want to be a part of it.
Right. I mean, and it's still, as we know, there's not that many jobs out there when you play his position. And, you know, he's the number one goaltender here. I think he would continue to be. I don't sense that they would be in a position where they'd be out trying to find his successor at this point. And it's still an opportunity. And you know, we've seen a lot of teams turn around quicker than they were supposed to. I mean, the Calgary Flames are still right in the thick of a playoff race right now, not too long after they were stripping down their roster and trading away Jarome Iginla and changing things over there. And I think that has to be the attitude, especially for the younger players, you know, like John and Bernier, who can be part of the solution. And I agree. I mean, I don't want to go too much further because really I'm not sure where he's at, but I just would end it. You know, I think it goes without saying when you've been pulled seven times in a season and you feel like no one's trying in front of you that you're going to be pretty frustrated while that's happening.
Yeah, quick last question, goaltending. Why I was Ozzy and I. It's a funny crowd right now. Let's face it; they're different crowds. When they were cheering Lou, okay, like to me, I'm thinking, I thought they were applauding the Leaf. I don't think they were mocking the Leaf effort, the offensive effort. First, I thought they're not booing him, are they? Ozzy wondered.
No, they're not booing him.
But I think Lou's just a popular guy. I think there's a lot of Vancouver Canuck fans. I don't know. I mean, I mean, what did you make of that? Because it is unusual to have the visiting team goaltender, you know, cheered adoringly when he made the save.
Well, and what was kind of unique about it is it was a fair bit into the game, and there hadn't been any hint of it before that. I mean, it was a really nice save he made, and it almost seemed organic. And my sense is that, honestly, this guy, through Twitter and various things, has become a very likable figure. And you know, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, his sort of public perception wasn't that. But I think, you know, what a great guy he is kind of shone through. And I just think there's Luongo fans out there. I mean, maybe they are old Vancouver fans. I just think he's a likable guy at this point. And And, you know, I just think they were supporting him. I'm with you. I don't think there's any malice there. It seemed just like one of those kind of nice spur of the moment moments, I guess, that stood out. And, you know, I quite enjoyed it. There was a couple of those tonight. You know, I really liked the cheer Sam Carrick got too for his first NHL goal.
Absolutely.
It's good to see that, you know, there still can be some humanity in all this and enjoyment. I mean, it's not life and death. I know it means a lot to people, but it's also fun. And that was a nice moment, obviously, for a local boy from Stouffville and Sam Carrick scoring his first goal. And I thought the crowd on another tough night did a good job of kind of commemorating that moment.
Chris, always appreciate it. We'll let you get back to work. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Chris Johnson from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca.
And one of the things, you know, finishing up with Roberto Luongo, I mean, one of the biggest things, at least, that I've noticed since he's gone back to Florida, he seems a lot more confident and composed in the net. He's just allowing the play to come to him, whereas the last number of years in Vancouver, I don't know, it's just because of the pressure playing at the Canadian city or the expectations in Vancouver or the challenge with Schneider and him in Vancouver. He looks a lot more at home here in Florida as playing, and being the type of goaltender that he was for many, many years.
Got Mike Tracos coming up next at 4-1. Florida defeats the Toronto Maple Leafs. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. It's your post-game workout. You're listening to Leafs Nation post-game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Riley up in over the blue line, down the middle. Riley coming in, centered in, score! Carrick! Riley to Carrick, the Leafs get on the board.
Well, the only goal tonight, nice moment, Sam Carrick's first NHL goal. Paul Romanek with the call, Joe Bowen under the weather tonight, so great to have Romy on board as well after a lot of years, but a 4-1 win for the Florida Panthers over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Mike Tracos joining us from the National Post. And as we chatted earlier to Chris Johnson about it, I mean, it is what it is, but certainly a nice moment about Carrick's goal, the fan reception. And we were talking about the Luongo reception, too, which was a little bit unusual, him being that popular here.
Yeah, thanks again for having me on, guys. And, yeah, it was, I guess, nice that they're acknowledging Roberto Luongo. And you know what? When Sam Carrick got his goal, I got to admit, that was a nice moment. And, Ozzy, you probably remember your first goal, and you could talk to any NHL player, and they could tell you about their first goal, whether or not some of the stories are exaggerated. But Sam Carrick's going to remember that his whole life now. And he and Morgan Riley are going to be basically joined in that kind of memory. So it is kind of nice, especially when you look at it. It's a young guy who's going to be here next year, possibly as a fourth-line center.
I wanted to move over to talking about Jonathan Bernier a little bit. Peter Horchek has now pulled his goaltenders four times in the last nine hockey games. This is the seventh time for Jonathan Bernier. I know we had Chris Johnson, and we were kind of just following up with Bernier going into his restricted free agency year. And, you know, I know he can't be a happy camper being the guy, you know, last line of defense to a team that's really not that interested, I think, in playing a lot of nights, and certainly defensive play hasn't been very good. Your general thoughts, I guess, on Jonathan Bernier, where he's at, or your evaluation of Jonathan Bernier moving forward?
You know, it is a tough thing to evaluate just because of how the team, like you said, has played in front of him, and they've lost some significant bodies lately, so you almost get the feeling that he's been subject to maybe more high quality chances than he was earlier in the season. But I think he'd be the first one to say that this season has not gone the way he wanted it to go, from just a purely stats point of view. He hasn't played as many games as maybe we'd like him to play, or hasn't given them as many chances as he did last year. And you're still dealing with a young guy, though, a guy that hasn't even touched his potential. So I'm not really willing to give up on Bernier. I don't think Leaf management is even at that or is contemplating that yet. But I think we talked about this before a few weeks ago. Are you going to give him a long-term contract? No. You're hopefully going to get him at 1 or 2 years and get him in a situation where he's proven himself. And I guess the ideal situation would be that once this team does rebuild and it starts playing good hockey, that he's at an age where he can start performing at a level where he is amongst those guys who are clear-cut number ones.
Trying to figure out, and again, chatting with Chris and chatting with you and everybody else after games, that, like, I worked that season in the front office when the 84-85 season 30 years ago, and I understand that this is I call it garbage time, where I don't think points should count as much because you're out of the playoffs, but this one's different than the last couple of years since 2004. I mean, this is just so different, such a grind, that I can see how guys have checked out. I know they shouldn't. It's human nature, though. But when you look at the big line in Joffrey Lupo, like, wow. You can talk about all the injuries you want. You got four guys that either can't get the results or just can't get invested again.
Yeah, and I think it's a situation. I get the feeling it's a situation where Leafs management is aware of just how toxic some of these performances are from the guys that are supposedly part of your leadership group. And Joffrey Lupo's got an A on his jersey, and Phil Kessel, regardless of the fact that he doesn't have a letter on his jersey, he's part of that leadership group just because of who he is, how much he's making, and his skill level. So I think there's reasons why William Nylander, who could have an audition in these final games, is not up here. And part of it is because of how the Marlies are playing and the playoff race they're in. But I think the other part is you just don't even want to bring these young guys into this situation. So we're seeing the Carricks and the Granbergs and the McWilliams, but we're not seeing the Connor Browns or Victor Loves or the Nylanders, guys who are a little higher up on the echelon in terms of their prospects. And I think a main reason for that is possibly you don't want to subject them to this kind of environment.
Michael, anything on Casey Bailey? I know there was a lot of body of work, things that we heard about him, big league shot, has a nice set of hands, will go into traffic. His skating might be a bit of an issue, but for me at least, there were some things that kind of jumped out at me that, as Eddie Olchuk said, I didn't think his skating was as bad as a lot of people would say. But was there anything that may have stood out to you in his first opportunity as a Toronto Maple Leaf?
I think he looked a bit nervous, especially in that first period. A couple pucks jumped on his stick, and I guess plays where all he had to do was just bang it in and get it in deep. He fanned on the puck a couple times. I did see him close the gap on Brian Campbell and forecheck him behind the net and got kind of bumped off. So I'm sure he learned that guys here are a little bit stronger, a little bit more positional, and they know things a little more tricks of the trade, so to speak. So he didn't stand out. He didn't stand out poorly, though. He didn't stand out on a good level. So, yeah, one game in, we'll see what this kid can do.
Dion Phaneuf, it's funny. He's the one guy Kessel took issue with everyone about Phaneuf's treatment. Phaneuf's really never done it. You can question about his leadership and many other things, but he certainly attempted to fulfill the role. And I've just noticed that he has been one guy that's been physical, and nobody comes to his aid. And you saw Sean Thornton out there that a minute there's a transgression on the Florida side. Like, this team has nobody that from Colton Orr and Fraser McLaren to nobody that seems to want to come and engage in that way. And I give Dion Phaneuf, he's kind of a target out there wearing the C, and they know he's basically alone.
100%. And you look at the minutes he's playing tonight on a team that is so shorthanded. They've got basically half the Marlies up with them, and he's logging almost 23 minutes a night. And like you said, he's been targeted. The other night, he gets into another scrap, and the hand's bothering him. And yeah, it is kind of disappointing, whether it has to be a so-called or quote-unquote enforcer standing up for him, or if it can just be another guy. Like, you can have team toughness in that regard. And we saw a bit of it when Sean Thornton was going after McWilliam there, and Komarov kind of got in the way. And they kind of got into it that way. But, yeah, we're not seeing any of it. And you look at last year's fighting leaders, and it wasn't your enforcers. It was Clarkson was up there. Joffrey Lupo got in a number of scraps. So it doesn't have to be the guys that are typical fighters that have to do this.
Yeah, and the only guy who was not in the lineup tonight for the Maple Leafs that would probably do something and engage would have been Zach Sill. And,
right.
And so at the end of the day, it doesn't take needing a Fraser McLaren, a Colton Orr, a Zach Sill in your lineup. It speaks to The issue of inside the dressing room, they talk about what a close group this team really is and how well they get along with one another. Why does it not translate out on the ice? We're not asking you to have to drop the gloves and come to anybody's aid. But you know what? Sometimes you see a Richard Ponick at least engaged a little bit. Sam Carrick playing with a bit of edge. Andrew McWilliam playing with a bit of edge. But there has to be that pack mentality that, yeah, it's been a tough season, but at least care for one another out on the ice, or at least make that effort, and maybe it becomes contagious. But I don't see that happening either.
Well, look at the lineup. Half these guys probably don't even know each other, though. Like they might have been a close-knit group earlier on, but...
You're in the Maple Leaf organization. You're part of a traditional organization. If you don't get it from a group of guys here, well, you know what? You've made your case in point moving forward, at least for me. If I was on the management team and say, okay, boys, who's really interested in being part of the solution moving forward? Is there a handful of guys here right now based on what we've seen in the last number of weeks? Maybe I'm looking at the wrong game. I should be going getting more pretzels. Coming back 2-0 Florida after me going to get some pretzels, for goodness sakes.
But don't you think the players realize that they're, like, a handful of them know they're gone. They thought they were going to be gone at the trade deadline, and when that didn't happen, they know they're gone in the summer. But, so you're saying management has already made up their minds? Well, the players are understanding on this, so why should they get their face kicked in? When they know they're going to be, they're basically on borrowed time here.
You know what? I played on a not very good team my first year in Detroit. We were not very good. I remember Jimmy DeMilano making the trade, or maybe it was Jimmy Skinner making the trade for Mike Foligno, sending him to Buffalo. On came Jimmy Schoenfeld, Danny Gare, and we still only won maybe 21 games that season. But a guy like Danny Gare, wore the captain in Buffalo. I mean, he competed, dropped the gloves, did all sorts of stuff like that on a losing team in a losing environment. I learned a lot from that, watching some of those guys who had some pride in wearing the jersey at the end of their careers. That spoke a lot of volumes.
But the other part, Mike, to take your point, is that one thing I did learn around then was Mike Nicolick would be the head coach of the Leafs, and after every home game, he'd go in there, he had a cigar, and he'd sit there with Dan Maloney, the assistant coach, and then he would go over the team. And whenever the team lost, I go, why are you doing this? You hate everybody. Okay? You know, why are you doing this a half hour after the game? When the team won, it was like a minor leaguer you wouldn't trade because he had a good, you know, just.
Right.
So I do think there is the chill pill that has, not the pill, but just in general that, you know.
Yeah, I wish it would come sooner than later.
Well, no, but right now you put your hands up. And this is where, at management, you've really got to identify there are some assets in there that'll play different, or hopefully will play different in a different environment, and you've got to figure out which ones to keep and which ones you really do have to move.
And I think that's why it's completely valuable that you have a Steve Staios there. If you didn't already know it from the outside looking in, you've got Steve Staios there that is going to be part of this team, whether it's on an assistant coaching basis or just a player development basis. That's embedded in that dressing room right now. It is getting a feel for which guys he thinks can flourish under different kind of leaders in there. And I think that's going to be a huge thing that's going to be important in the offseason, is people forget it's not just trading away assets right now. They're going to have to acquire some guys where a Morgan Riley can learn from some players. And they thought that Stefan Robidoux was going to be that this season. Didn't quite work out, but you have to find the next wave of Daniel Winnicks or Santarellis or Cody Franzens, guys that are going to play well and are going to be strong in the dressing room that a lot of these young guys can learn from.
Let me ask you guys both this question, because I'm really curious as to the season's going to end in a number of weeks, and what's going to be the first order of business. The first Saturday of the playoffs, we're going to learn where the Maple Leafs do draft, right?
Yeah.
Correct?
That's
right.
The first order of business.
After that is it the coach that you're naming next? Is Dave Nonis being a part of things? What happens going into the draft? Free agency? Is there going to be a coach named after that? What's the first order of business for this particular group of management team?
Well, you can't make trades with teams that are in the playoffs, so you'd probably, you know, and trades really aren't made till the draft anyway.
Wait until the Stanley Cup is over before a lot of those things get put in order.
I'm sure they let the coach go. You know, I know you want the scorched earth theory. I know Ozzy's just ready.
Did I ever say that?
No, I did. I did. I brought it up. Whatever. Where Mike and I are, you know, erring on the side of common reason and showing that there's a lot of goodness in this booth as well. So we will find out. Of course, we enjoy reading your work in the National Post. And hey, thanks for coming on. We'll do it a few more times if that's okay.
Yeah, of course. It's dream up things to talk about.
That's it. You always come through.
Thanks again, guys.
Mike Trakos joining us from the National Post. We'll come back with more Leafs Nation postgame. A 4-1 4-1 loss tonight to the Florida Panthers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. The game may end, but the analysis never will. Now, Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Back at it, Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Leafs Radio Network. Just got a couple of moments here. Let's get some housekeeping duties done. The out-of-town scoreboard brought to you by our friends at Bergmanis Pereira, Ontario's most preferred personal injury law firm. Visit us at bplawyers.ca. So just give the scores, Ozzie, and then we'll get the scores later on in the next hour.
Colorado-Vancouver, nothing.
Keep going.
Oh, there you go. You wanted that score. I gave you that
score.
Okay,
good. Let's go. Well, okay. Anaheim wins in overtime over Boston, 3-2. Arizona, 4-3 winners in overtime over Buffalo.
How about the LA Kings going into Long Island? That's three wins in a row on the road. 3-2 was the winning score for the Kings. Kopitar gets the game winner.
New Jersey and Washington, the Capitals. Well, that went to overtime as well. A lot of 3-2 scores in overtime. The Capitals defeat the New Jersey Devils.
But I added that Kopitar thing just for a little bit of change of sceneries.
5-2
was the win.
Appreciated.
Carolina not tanking it. They beat the struggling Pittsburgh Penguins 5-2.
And the Hamburglar was pulled. Ketchup today and mustard, whatever, off on the sideline. Ottawa loses 5-1 to the New York Rangers.
Well, the San Jose Sharks go 2-3 on this five-game road trip. They beat the Red Wings 6-4 in Detroit.
And Nashville finally gets a win in the Santorelli and Franzen era. Santorelli got one of the goals in a 3-2 win over the Tampa Bay Lightning.
And how about those Winnipeg Jets? A big win at home, three goals in the second period. They go on to defeat the Montreal Canadiens 5-2. Tokarski takes the loss. Pavlik gets the win. He's been red hot for Winnipeg.
Well, we'll get all the goal scorers next hour when we come back. We also have our Tip Top Tailor Player of the Game. The Player of the Game is brought to you by Tip Top Tailors. It's all about style. Tip Top Tailors, your menswear shop.
Are we going to break, or am I giving you the tip
top? Game. Oh, I can't wait for it.
Gee, you kind of confused me there a little bit. But I'm going with Brandon Peary. That third goal that he scored that put the Panthers up 3-0 and then solidified the empty net goal, his second goal of the hockey game, 20th on the season, his ninth goal in the last 13 games, 20 goals in 41 games for the Florida Panthers. And it was kind of confirmed with Dale Tallon coming by and saying how much he liked the Trocheck, Peary, and Jimmy Hayes line. So Brandon Peary gets the tip-top Taylor player of the game for me for the Florida Panthers.
Well, a 4-1 win for the Florida Panthers over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll be back with another hour of Leafs Nation postgame. Some of our affiliates might be breaking away. We'll continue on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And if your station happens to break away and you want to catch us online, sportsnet590.ca is where you can hear us. We'll hear from many of the principals involved in tonight's game, including Casey Bailey, his first ever NHL game. We'll hear from Peter Horachuk, the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, of course, we'll give you the complete scores in the out-of-town scoreboard. A lot of one-goal games, a lot of games with playoff ramifications, and certainly that was the case for the Florida Panthers. They're still in the hunt. A 4-1 win they had over the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand, absolutely free. Breaking down the game in a fanatic, obsessive, bordering on unhealthy manner. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The frustration of not having a lead is not my focus. Not getting behind is more of my focus, is why are we not playing the 60 minutes, and that's not good.
Well, we'll hear more from Peter Horachuk later on, his postgame comments. I don't really know the difference. He doesn't... what he's okay. Not having a lead isn't the problem. It's getting behind isn't the same thing, really. But anyway,
well, he's at a loss.
Yeah,
and we're watching. We're at a loss. You kind of wonder why there's not a greater effort, at least to start the hockey game and carry it through in 60-minute effort. Nonetheless.
Well, we'll give you the effort here. Leafs Nation postgame continues. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, again, a 4-1 win for the Florida Panthers over the Toronto Maple Leafs. George Richards from the Miami Herald will be joining us in about 7 or 8 minutes or so. But we did the out-of-town scores board. Let's go back and include the goal scorers because a very active and a lot of playoff nightly battles in the playoff structure going back and forth for teams trying to get in or trying not to fall out. And of course, it's brought to you by Bergmanis Pereira, Ontario's most referred personal injury law firm. Visit us at bplawyers.ca.
And one of the teams, Gord, I think we could probably say for certain they're not in the mix in the Western Conference playoff race. Colorado, they've had bits and pieces of spurts, but losers last night in Edmonton, and just about 17 minutes left in the second period in Vancouver. The Avs and the Canucks are scoreless. Barra in net for Colorado. Eddie Lack in net for Vancouver.
Well, this could be the point that comes and bites the Boston Bruins back in the butt. They had a 2-1 lead over the Anaheim Ducks. Corey Perry scores with 39 seconds in regulation time to tie it at 2-2. Ryan Getzlaf scores in overtime for a 3-2 overtime win for the Ducks over the Boston Bruins. 2 points turns into one for the Bruins. Patrick Maroon's ninth went with Perry's 32nd and Getzlaf's 24th. For Boston, it was Ryan Spooner, his sixth, and Louis Erickson, his 19th.
But interesting there, Gordon, in the last minute of play, Claude Julien does call a timeout faceoff in his own end of the ice, and the Bruins kind of gained the draw, but a great second effort by Ryan Getzlaf kept the play or the puck in play for the Anaheim Ducks, and then a point shot of which Perry was able to tip it. So those are one of the heartbreakers for the Bruins, losing the lead in the last minute of play. And then, as you mentioned already, Getzlaf gets his 24th in overtime. Over to Buffalo is the Arizona Coyotes defeating the Sabres 4-3 in overtime. Here are your Sabres scores. Tyler Ennis, goal number 19th. Ristolainen, goal number 6. And Brian Gionta, goal number 10 on the power play. For the Coyotes, Jordan Schwartz, his first of the season. Ekman Larson, goal number 21. David Moss, goal number 4. And Sam Gagne on the power play in overtime, only 56 seconds into overtime, his 13th. Was the winner for the Coyotes.
And those two teams playing in the Connor McDavid Bowl to some degree in a big article today in Buffalo talking about Tank Nation has never, ever been the goal or the model the Buffalo Sabres or the credo the Buffalo Sabres have embraced this past year, even though they will come dead last and have the 20% chance of selecting Connor McDavid. Daryl Sutter, Los Angeles Kings, lamenting the difficulty in getting in the playoffs, saying it's more difficult than winning a Stanley Cup. Of course, he's won two of them with Los Angeles. A 3-2 win tonight over the New York Islanders will help their chances, their cause of getting in the playoffs. Nick Shore, his first. Tyler Toffoli is 22nd. Anze Kopitar, the winner, his 16th. For the Islanders, Franz Nielsen is 13th. And Johnny Boychuk, goal number 8.
And for the time being, that would have put L.A. into the wild card, the second wild card position, because they would have tied the Winnipeg Jets with 88 points. They have more ROW wins as opposed to the Winnipeg Jets. But let me just creep down, Gord, to the final that occurred in Winnipeg, where Winnipeg defeats the Montreal Canadiens 5-2. Dustin Byfuglien opened the scoring for the Jets, his 16th. It was 2-0 early in the second period. Scheifele, his 14th, before Markov cut the lead to 1, his 9th of the season. Jim Slater, his 3rd, then and Blake Wheeler, his 24th, gave the Winnipeg Jets a 4-1 lead after two periods of play. Brendan Gallagher, his 23rd, cut the lead to 4-2, but Adam Laurie, with his 10th of the season, solidified the win for the Jets. So again, they continue that 2-point hold on Los Angeles for the wild card position. 5-2 winners at home against the Montreal Canadiens.
We haven't done the Washington Capitals yet. Washington 3-2 winners, another 3-2 overtime win over the New Jersey Devils. For the Caps, Carl Alzner is 5th, Eric Fair is 19th. They did have a 2-0 lead. That dissipated. It took the Matt Niskanen goal in overtime, his fourth, to win it. For New Jersey, Travis Sajak is 11th, and Steve Bernier his 13th.
Over to Carolina, where they're visiting Pittsburgh Penguins, just 4-4-2 in their last 10 hockey games. So that's not the kind of, you know, coming down the stretch run that you want to be playing a little bit more consistent hockey. They go down to defeat 5-2. Brandon Sutter for the Penguins opened up the scoring his 17th of the season. Eric Staal then made it 1-1, his 20th. Ryan Murphy put the Hurricanes up 2-1 after one period of play. Two more goals for the Canes in the second period. Jay McClement is 7th. Alexander Semin, his 5th of the season. It then became 5-1 with Nestor Sill on the power play, his 7th of the season, before Ian Cole, his 5th for Pittsburgh. It was a 5-2 final in Carolina.
And not the night for the Hamburglar, pulled after one period of play tonight in Ottawa. The New York Rangers 5-1 victors. Chris Kreider scored twice. He now has 20. Dan Boyle, his 9th. Matt Zuccarello was 14th. And Tanner Glass, his 1st of the year for Ottawa. Curtis Lazar, his 5th. 5-1 final, the Rangers over the Ottawa Senators.
Well, the San Jose Sharks get to 80 points on the season, but as mentioned, that's 10 points behind the final wild card position. So I'd like to think that their season is pretty well done, even though a big win in Detroit, 6-4, was the final score. Here are the Red Wings scores. Yurko, his 3rd. Tatar, his 27th. Steven Weiss, goal number 8. And Justin Abdelkader, goal number 22. For the Sharks, Vlasic, his 9th. Nieto, his 8th. Tierney, his 4th. Logan Couture, goal number 24. And Patrick Marleau got his 16th and 17th in the winning cause for the Sharks over the Red Wings.
Okay, take a quick look at the last, just the last one before we get to George Richards, is the
Nashville,
Tampa
yep.
Bay team. The other team in Florida loses 3-2 to Nashville. Mike Ribeiro is 14th. Paul Gostad is 4th. And Mike Santarelli, the winner, his 12th for the former Leaf. Vladislav Nemetsnikov is 7th. And Brian Boyle scored one, the second goal. It was Nashville 3, Tampa Bay 2 in regulation time. George Richards covering the Florida Panthers and the National Hockey League for the Miami Herald, joining Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne on Leafs Nation postgame. And, boy, it's a late rush to try for the playoffs, but you win tonight, and then karma in the way the Bruins lose, Ottawa loses. It's a good night if you're a Florida fan.
Yeah, I would have to think the Panthers didn't think Ottawa was ever going to lose again the way they've been playing. But, yeah, definitely the New York Rangers did them a solid tonight. And, you know, here we are with 8 games left and Florida's 3 points out. I don't think too many people saw that coming.
George, talk to us a little bit about Brandon Peary. I know that he was an original draft pick of Dale Tallon when he was a member of the Chicago Blackhawks. And I mean, I was looking at the goals that he's been able to score in the last, month or so. He's got 20 on the season in 41 games. That's been a pretty neat story for the Florida Panthers for some supplementary scoring, to say the least.
Oh, absolutely. I talked to Dale Tallon last week about that, and he gave up a 3rd and a 5th round pick for Brandon Peary. He was just a guy that couldn't crack that Chicago lineup, you know, all that talent that was there. But Brandon Peary comes to the Panthers last year, gets overshadowed, obviously, in the Roberto Luongo deal. He made his debut the day that Luongo came back to Florida, and he's been nothing but solid. He's got 17 goals in the past 22 games, and the kid's just a scorer. I mean, he's a pure sniper, and it seems like every time he has the puck on his stick, it's you know, somewhere near the cage, and lately it's just going in.
You know, Ozzy was mentioning, Mark was mentioning that, of course, last game was the in Florida, the goaltending is getting injured. We almost saw Robbie Tallis as the 3rd goaltender,
sure.
So that was a very unique night. Roberto Luongo, he's become a cult figure in that he got the Lou chant here, that he just seems a likable guy. He's used social media to ingratiate himself about his personality. And the other part is he's looking really good.
Yeah. No, I mean, maybe these last couple weeks helped him. I mean, obviously he has his legs back, and it's been a long season for him. He's played a lot more games than he's been used to the last couple years. And Vancouver, is, you know, obviously, you know, was riding the bench, something that led to his complications in Vancouver. But no, he's been looking real good. And you know, the one thing is, when he got hurt, I mean, Toronto obviously got that win in Sunrise when the Panthers didn't have a goalie. How important is that loss to the Panthers now? I mean, that's two big points that they don't have. They would be right, you know, completely, you know, in the conversation with the Ottawa. They'd be 1 point back now. And so that was a game that hurt. But I'll tell you what, Dan Ellis came in and replaced Roberto Luongo and did well. Goaltending wasn't the problem while Louis was out. It was them putting the puck in the back of the net. But, you know, they've been doing pretty well lately. I think they've won 8 of the last 12 games, and they're trying to make a run at this thing.
George, I want to get back to just talking again a little bit of your opinion on a young kid. And I looked and, you know, checked out his stats. He's only turned 20 years of age, not until September, and that was Alexander Barkov, who I think is going to have a bright, bright future. His size, his strength, his ability to protect the puck. He's playing with Huberdeau and Jaromir Jagr. He had 2 assists tonight. He was named the first star here in Toronto. But your general impressions of his growth as a Florida Panther?
I tell you what, he plays, you know, kind of like, you know, you talk about Aaron Ekblad being 19 years old, saying that he plays like he's 25 years old. Well, so does Alexander Barkov. And that's one of the reasons why Dale Talon selected him 2 years ago when they had the second overall pick. A lot of people thought that they were going to go with Seth Jones, the defenseman. He didn't. He needed, you know, the team was for sale. We didn't know this at the time. He had no money. He knew he was going to lose Steven Weiss. He needed a center who could step in and play right then and now. I mean, Alexander Barkov had been, you know, played professionally in Finland, and they felt like he was ready to go. He was going to be their free agent signing. And he came up, and the kid's been terrific. He's very mature for his age, and he seems to be handling the pressure that they've put on him. So, I think the future's very bright for Alexander Barkov.
You know, unusual situation here to see a lot of empty seats. They still announced a sellout, but, you know, playing out the string. What's it like in Florida about trying to get a hold there and the fans embracing? They've had a lot of years of disappointment, let's face it, but what seems to be a young and exciting team?
Yeah, I think, you know, people, the diehards, you know, here in South Florida, and there are diehards. Don't kid yourself. I mean, these guys have been through a lot. They haven't seen much very good hockey for a long time. They believe in what Dale Talon is doing and been putting together the young teams. But I think to get the casual fan, especially in a non-traditional market like this, you have to win, and you have to win consistently. And the Panthers obviously haven't done that. They've been to the playoffs once since 2000, and then they turn around and finish dead last in the NHL. You have a lockout, dead last. The second year after that, they don't have any money to spend. They end up 29th in the NHL. So whatever goodwill they created by winning the Southeast Conference in 2012, they kind of gave away by finishing in last place the next 2 years. They start winning, people are going to start paying attention. If this team somehow makes the playoffs this year, that 20,000-seat arena on the edge of the Everglades is going to be full. People in South Florida love a winner, and they will pay whatever it costs to support one.
George, down to the last straws as far as the Florida Panthers and their push for the playoffs. Just a little bit of an update, if you're able to give us, on a couple of players, key players for Florida that weren't part of the mix tonight in spite of the win, would be Gudbranson and Bjugstad, who leads the team with 24 goals. Any updates as to when those two guys return?
Well, Nick Bjugstad has some kind of lower body injury that they're being very secretive about. They left him back in South Florida. He's been, you know, being evaluated and all that. That doesn't sound good. It could just be, you know, they're trying to rest him up for the final 5-game push. He didn't travel with the team to Canada or to Tampa Bay, so I don't think he's going to join the team until Boston, maybe on Monday, or not at all. As far as Erik Branson goes, he was benched tonight just because of his play. He didn't play very well in Tampa Bay. A lot of turnovers, you know, that led to some of those quick Tampa Bay goals. You know, you know you can't make many mistakes against Tampa Bay, or it's going to end up in the back of the net. Well, you know, Erik Branson made quite a few of those. And that's one reason why Florida lost 4-3 and, you know, kind of put a damper on their playoff run.
You know, Jaromir Jagr, I'm wondering, you're a guy that's seen him a lot as an opposing player. You've seen a lot of veterans that came free agency-wise a couple of years ago. Talk about this rather unique player on the ice and off the ice.
Who are you talking about? I didn't hear you.
Jaromir Jagr.
Oh, yeah. What a great pickup he's been. I mean, everybody talks about him being 43 years old, but he's playing on that top line with the kids. Barkov, who you mentioned, and Jonathan Huberdeau, who scored again tonight. Their numbers have been, very good since Jaromir Jagr joined the team. And, you just see these guys. They watch everything he does on the ice, off the ice. The guy's a workout fiend. He's got the kids now following him around like a, you're just following him around the locker room and around the rink, and they do whatever he does. And that's one of the reasons why Florida brought him in, and that's another reason why Florida wants to re-sign him for next year. They like what he does on the ice, but they really like what he does off it.
Well, George, always a pleasure to have you join us, and it's a fun watching teams on a run, whether it's Minnesota or Dallas getting a late run in the West, or you guys, Ottawa, whatever, in the East. Talk to you down the road. Always appreciate you making time.
All right, you got it, guys. We'll talk to you later.
George Richards joining us, of course, from the Miami Herald, covering the Florida Panthers and the National Hockey League. When we come back, we'll hear from many of the principals in tonight's game, including Casey Bailey, his first NHL game, and also Toronto Maple Leaf head coach Peter Horachuk. A 4-1 win for the Florida Panthers over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelnick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Talk about tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Flicked back in by Campbell, and the final seconds will tick off the clock. This one is over. Florida with a 4-1 win.
Well, that's Paul Romanek with the call. Paul Romanek in for an ailing Joe Bowen tonight. As we said, great to have Romy back doing radio. Did it a lot of years ago covering the Toronto Maple Leafs, and of course now part of the play-by-play guys on Hockey Night in Canada and our whole Rogers package. But like Joe's been doing of late, it was a 4-1 victory for the opposing team, the Florida Panthers, over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We welcome you back to one more segment of Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelnick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
And you know what, Gord, we're just talking about a couple of teams who are going in polar opposites. You know, this was a huge game for the Florida Panthers. You think they started their first of five games the other night on the road. It began in Tampa Bay. They had a 3-2 lead going into the third period, end up losing that hockey game. So tonight, as you know, the season is really going to happen for them right now. I know they still have Boston a couple of more times. They play the likes of the Ottawa Senators. So they go to Montreal on Saturday night. They play in Ottawa on Monday before visiting Boston on Wednesday. So again, it's going to be nip and tuck going down that stretch in the Eastern Conference. We mentioned some of the out-of-town scores already. The Bruins losers in overtime to Anaheim. Ottawa lost to the New York Rangers. So with the win, Florida pulls within three of both Ottawa and Boston for that final wild card position.
Well, every night is interesting, intriguing, unfortunately not involving the Toronto Maple Leafs, but what's been interesting, intriguing in the last couple of days was the successful pursuit and signing of what's been deemed the top graduating college player, free agent, ones that don't get drafted and then become not drafted by any NHL team. So then our free agents, the late bloomers, when their college career is over. Casey Bailey, 23 years old, reportedly pursued by 15 NHL teams in total. He made his debut with the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight in Aussie. You look at his stats, 11 minutes, 49 seconds. He was a plus one. He didn't get a shot on goal, but he had a pretty good attempt about his third or fourth shift. Looked a little tentative early on, to be expected.
Well, absolutely. I remember certainly knees were shaking my first ever NHL start, and that was only exhibition, so that didn't really mean anything. And of course, the attention that Casey Bailey has been given already, I think that just puts added pressure. But again, as the game went on, in particular, that third period looked a little bit more comfortable, was on the ice when Sam Carrick scored his first National Hockey League goal. So again, too early to determine what our personal assessment is. We'll look forward to seeing this kid play a little bit more, obviously, down the stretch.
Well, it certainly was well spoken, and I couldn't say enough, speak volumes, and his excitement about signing with an Original Six team, the Toronto Maple Leafs. Here is Casey Bailey after tonight's game.
So, what stood out about tonight?
Yeah, it was definitely a lot faster, and the guys were bigger, but I had fun out there.
Is there a welcome to the NHL moment that stands out?
Not one in particular, just kind of the whole game was a blast. I had a lot of fun out there. It's just an honor to get that out of the way, and I had fun.
You mentioned this morning that you were feeling pretty comfortable. Did some nerves come on as game time got closer?
Yeah, definitely as I stepped in here for game times when the nerves really started hitting me, and I think throughout the game it got better and better, so it's nice to get that first game out of the way.
The end of your opening shift, you look up Jaromir Jagr's. He's on there on the wing with you. I mean, that's going to have to be at least be special when he goes into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible. He's obviously one of the most recognized guys in the league right now. And, you know, just being on the ice with him and being able to watch him, it's incredible. And, I'm honored.
You can remember this day, whether it's the Jagr shift or the first, moment you stepped on the ice. What will you remember about this day?
Probably being out there for that goal, hearing that horn go off. And, Sam got his first one there, and it was just nice to be a part of it.
Week ago tonight, you're playing in Detroit against Ohio State. This has all had to be so surreal the last 7 days.
Yeah, it all happened so fast. It's a dream come true. It's something that I've always wanted to happen, and the fact that it just, came out like that a week later, I'm living my dream. It's pretty surreal.
Yeah, will you get a chance? How you stacked up, or were you where you thought you would be when it comes to this level?
I mean, I think I was a little taken back. I think I was thinking a little too much out there, and I think after getting that first game away, I hopefully will be more comfortable if I get another chance.
Will you get a chance to talk to your dad perhaps later tonight?
Yeah, I'll definitely give him a call. Time difference, it's pretty late there.
5 hours.
Huh? Yeah, so I'm sure he's waiting up anyway. He wants to talk to me. He's just as excited about this as I am.
Well, great to hear the excitement of Casey Bailey after his first NHL game.
Did you catch where his dad is right now?
Alaska, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not that late there. It's the exact opposite when it comes to the time change. So, anyways, I thought maybe you'd catch that, but obviously you weren't paying that much attention. So,
yeah, it isn't late there. Well, maybe he's somewhere else. Maybe his dad is somewhere else.
Yeah, maybe overseas.
I would think he would know. I'm not going to diss a guy at his first ever NHL. I'm sure he knows where his dad is, Casey Bailey. Meanwhile, for Sam Carrick, I imagine his dad was right here watching the game tonight. He's played rather well of late, this recent call-up with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and tonight records his first NHL goal. Got a nice ovation from the crowd as well when it was put up there on the scoreboard. And taking a look at Carrick's stats. So one goal, a plus one, 11 minutes and 30 seconds of ice time. Let's see, how was he in? Did he take any face-offs here?
Of course he would have taken face-offs. He's a centerman. He was 0-3. Okay. 0-3 on the face-offs.
Yeah. Okay, there he is. 0-3.
Or maybe
no,
more.
No.
That was 2-5. After one period.
2-5, so 29%.
Yeah.
1-2, lost 5 on the face-offs. Got around to that. Let's get around to hearing Sam Carrick after tonight's game, which included his first career NHL goal.
First of all, a great play by Morgan Riley to, kind of take it in the zone there and take it wide around the D. And, I just kind of went to the net with my stick on the ice, and he found me for an open net. So it was a great play by him.
Describe the moment when puck was in.
I kind of blanked out. It was obviously, after thinking about it now, it's a dream come true. But, I was a little bit surprised that the puck came out to me, and I was just happy to put it in.
Were you worried that it would take a while after just missing them the last game, I guess?
I wasn't too worried. I don't think they really expect me to go out there and score every game, so it's not really a part of my game too much, but I definitely want to chip in whenever I can, and I was just happy to tonight.
Who's going to get the puck?
I will for now. I don't know. I don't know where it is or anything, but hopefully I can keep it.
For Markham native, having the crowd respond like they did and to score a goal for the Toronto Maple Leafs, what does it mean? Is it extra special?
Yeah, it's great. I'm actually from Stouffville, but rivalry. Yeah, it's high school rivalry there. But it's definitely special. Hometown, being a Leaf fan growing up, dreaming of scoring in this building, it's a dream come true.
Did you notice the ovation you got from the fans there?
I did. Yeah, I looked up at the board and saw they were cheering when it said my first career goal. So it was nice.
Is it hard not to crack a huge smile at that moment?
It was. I tried to keep it in a little bit, but it's a special feeling getting that first one.
Well, Sam Carrick, first career NHL goal. You know something? We sparked him. We interviewed him in the first intermission. Asked the last question, who he emulated growing up being a big Leaf fan. He mentioned Darcy Tucker. I think the Leafs could use a little bit of Darcy Tucker's style of play. But nice to hear, even though the team lost, the excitement of Casey Bailey earlier, first NHL game, and Sam Carrick, the first NHL goal.
Well, you know what? I mean, it just basically speaks volumes to a guy like Darcy Tucker, the impression that he made on young kids growing up and watching the way that Darcy, undersized, played with passion, wore his heart on his sleeve, gave it everything he had pound for pound. And so, you know what? Kids like those type of guys. And if you look up and down the Maple Leaf lineup right now, and you know, you wouldn't be able to pick one of those type of guys that brings that emotion night in and night out. So, good on Sam Carrick to actually identify that, and I like the edge and a little bit of brawn that he brings to the mix as a you know, basically a fourth line centerman.
Well, it seems everyone likes to play a Morgan Riley as well. 23 minutes and 6 seconds, second to Jake Gardner tonight. He was he picked up an assist. He was a minus one, but raving about that assist on Sam Carrick's goal. And you can debate about the future all you want. This is one guy that is in ink about the future plans for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Let's hear from Morgan Riley after tonight's 4-1 loss.
Set up Sam for that first goal, something he'll always remember, and I guess you guys will be bonded for life in that regard.
Yeah, you know, he's a great teammate and a great player, and, you know, we're all very happy for him that he was able to get that out of the way since Jake stole his last one. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think we're just worried about playing, you know, a good team game, but obviously for him, we're very happy for him.
You know, tough when you look at this club and, you know, injuries and suspension to Nazemin. I mean, it is a stripped-down club compared to what we saw earlier this season. Do you take moral victories, minor victories out of young players like that getting their first goals?
I think so, yeah. You know, we got some guys playing that haven't played that many games in the league, and, you know, they're playing hard and they're playing well. And, you know, I think that's the most important thing. And, you know, it's huge for them, but, you know, at the end of the day, we've got to try to win some games here, and, you know, that's the most important thing. And but, you know, if the young players on this team are playing well, you know, I think that it'll help their confidence and, you know, moving forward. But, you know, it's all about getting wins, and that's the most important thing.
When you look at today's game, was it just a bit of a brief hiccup there, or longer hiccup in the second that cost you?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we played well in the first. You know, we came out hard. We were playing the right way. Then, you know, obviously we had a span there where we didn't play as well, and you know, they capitalized, and you know, that's what cost us in the long run, because I think at times we played good hockey, but you know, in this league you got to do it for the whole game, not just in spurts.
Morgan Riley after tonight's game, the 4-1 loss, and as mentioned, you know, Dion Phaneuf, we said getting a good chunk of ice time. What was it, where has it got Dion here?
22-48.
There we go, 22-48. But it's the last number of games, both Morgan Riley, Jake Gardner are getting a little bit more. So it seems like, you know, Peter Horchek in that sense, that those two guys are the future. And I thought he kind of got off the rails a little bit recently, Ozzy, with the team going in the tank. I'm glad to see him rising above it the last couple of games.
Meaning Morgan or meaning Dion Phaneuf?
Oh, excuse me, Morgan. Right, meaning Morgan.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, there's been, you know, a part of his play. I think if we just maybe look at the body of work over the last month, I mean, there was a stretch there where, yeah, it seemed to be getting more and more confidence, and then I think he slipped back a little bit. I mean, case in point tonight, a great rush on the Carrick goal, and so I think he's trying to pick his spots, and I'm sure he's, again, he's paired up with Jake Gardner right now, so they're trying to control the puck and move at opportune times. But I think at times guilty of maybe trying to do a little bit too much. If you look at the one rush that he did have, he circled the wagon around the net, and by the time he decided to try to make the play, just about every one of the Florida Panthers was back in position, and nothing then materialized.
You were making the old
Kenny Yaremchuk
yep. remark. He was the guy. I know the line. He played with the Toronto Maple Leafs, but Jerry McNamara had the good line with the Chicago Blackhawks that when he would come whipping off the bench, and if he opened that gate at the back behind the net, he would skate right through gate 3.5 and out to the parking lot. That kind of way.
You know what? And you look at Morgan's skating ability, and he does have a good head in the offensive zone. I think one of the guys in my generation that I remember watching, and how he would find guys and make plays and try to at least identify guys coming late, would be a guy like Paul Coffey. Now, You know, not suggesting that Morgan's a Paul Coffey, but that's one of the things I think with a rushing defenseman in gaining the offensive line. You got to look for guys coming late, and it's imperative that the forwards also are with that mindset, knowing that, you know, if Morgan gets a good burst of speed in the offensive zone, I now got to get myself in scoring position. You look at the Leaf wingers, there's not too many of them, I think, sometimes even think the game that way to get themselves in those shooting areas. They're not necessarily finding seams to get open to be natural goal scorers. Kessel obviously is one of those guys, but that's been few and far in between for him the last number of months.
Well, keys to victory for tonight's game. Ozzy, of course, always on Leafs Nation pregame. Mark Osborne gives us the keys, and we reevaluate them at the end of the game.
Well, you know, one of the things I felt, certainly the emotional level of the Toronto Maple Leafs, if they were to engage off the get-go, perhaps get an early effort, feed off of maybe the energy and the 18 shots that they pushed forward on the Minnesota net on Monday night in the third period, when they got 18 shots in the third period. Perhaps you just look back and think about that and engage your crowd here. It was a scoreless tie, but I think that the Leafs actually did have some kind of at least emotional perspective in that first period. It was all for naught after the first 5 minutes of the second period, where they gave up those two goals. And after that, I think there was a little bit of a letdown, and so there was not a 60-minute effort. Point number two was going to be the specialty teams. I thought in particular Florida, it doesn't do a very good job. That's one area of their game. They're 28th on the power play. They've gone 0 for 15 their last five games. As a matter of fact, I think they only got on the power play once. I felt the officiating was a little bit kind of skewed in some respects. The Leafs got on the power play at least four times. They weren't able to score. So again, specialty teams weren't really a factor positively or negatively for the Maple Leafs. And then point number three, believe it or not, I felt that a big key for the Maple Leafs would be who the defenders were going to be, whether it was going to be the line combination or the 2D that were going to get paired up against Barkov, Huberdeau, and Jaromir Jagr. I felt the last time the Leafs were in Florida, that line in particular really had a lot of zone time and made things happen. What was the case in point? They were responsible for the first two goals there for Florida. That ignited it. Barkov ended up being the number one star. So I guess a failing grade on point number three. The Leafs did not do a good enough job on that particular three. They were very good for the Florida Panthers.
Well, that was it. Of course, we'll be back at it on Saturday. The Leafs play a home game against the Ottawa Senators. We'll be on with, of course, Hockey Nation from 5 to 7 p.m. Take a look around the National Hockey League. Hone in on that game. Leafs have a chance to play spoilers if that's what they want to do against the Ottawa Senators. They have two meetings left against them, and after Ottawa losing tonight, they need every point they can get. Same goes for the Florida Panthers, and they get two tonight and see the Boston Bruins have two reduced to one when they took on the Anaheim Ducks, and the Ducks tied it and won in overtime. 4-1 final, the Florida Panthers over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Sports Delic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.